And welcome back to Coast. Welcome back to the open line portion of the program. I hope all is going well with you. I wanted to thank all of you who participated in our Thursday night special of our mass consciousness experiment to see what will happen to try to get this Ukraine-Russian situation over with and done with. It's almost out of hand, and it could get even worse, and that's what concerns me. We want to get this done. But Lyndon McTaggart, who is in the United Kingdom, was kind enough to give us some information on how to conduct it, and we did. So continue your prayers and your thoughts and concentrate on peace, and let's see what happens. Maybe that will work. Anyways, so we've got full open lines for you, so when we come back, we'll go right to the calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, looking forward to our open lines. We don't talk a lot about sports on this program, but I got to tell you, the situation with Major League Baseball is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, we're coming out of this horrible situation over the last 2 years with COVID, where there were virtually nobody in the stands, or they have these paper cutouts of people, and now there's not going to be, they're not getting along with the players, and so they figure they can stop the season, that they've canceled opening day and a couple other games, and who knows how long it's going to happen. I think that this, it's devastating for baseball. It sends a horrible message on with COVID out there and everything else. You need to get things going. It's America's pastime. America needs to move ahead. Open up the baseball season, start on time, and have some fun. My gosh. Anyways, that's my talk about sports, and that's it for now. But let's go to the phones. Jim in Santa Monica, California, west of the Rockies, gets us started. Hey, Jim.
Hey, George. I got a couple of stories for you. I got a good Mel Brooks story. But first, I'm going to mention, do you remember that movie, The Screaming Skull?
The Screaming Skull? I do not.
I'm about your age, and I was about 11 or 10. I was at the movie theater, and that scared the heck out of me. So, I'm sure your friend, the other guy, would have known about it.
Yeah, he probably would have.
But, so anyway, but I saw it recently, and it didn't scare me as much. But, of course, you know, I'm an adult now, so sometimes it's, yeah, here's a good Mel Brooks story. He's actually one of my best friends.
Oh, really?
And I talked to him today. As a matter of fact, he's 95, but he's sharp as a tack.
He is. I had a buddy of mine who came in from St. Louis to meet me a couple of years ago. He has since passed away, sadly. And we were getting out of the car, going into a little restaurant nightclub, and he walked straight into Mel Brooks. And you would think he ran into God. I mean, he just went nuts. But you're right. Mel Brooks is in his 90s and has more energy than all of us put together.
Let me tell you, he's 95 and he's walking all the time. And he remembers something I said to him 40 years ago, and I can't remember what day it is sometimes, you know.
He's as sharp as a tack. He really is.
He's a genius. He's a comic genius.
He's right? He's old-time Hollywood, but he's great.
Let me say, and also I wrote a book, and I mentioned you in the book. It's called The Diary of a Manic OCD Bookseller. So Mel has a chapter in it, as well as you, George.
All right, great. Send it our way. I'd love to see it.
If it becomes a movie, I'll make sure they'll let you know. We're trying to get that going, Mel and me.
If it becomes a movie, I want to play me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a deal.
You got a deal. Okay, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Jeff, Ferguson, Missouri, one of my old callers from the Nighthawk show. Hey, remember those days, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think I actually saw you in the studio one night.
At Westport Theater, right outside. That's right.
Yeah. A couple things real quick. In case I didn't mention it, I had a checkup today. I'm all clear of the COVID.
Good. Did you have COVID before?
No.
So you're all, you never had it, and you don't have it now. Good.
No, I had a cold over the holidays, and that was worse than the COVID.
Good for you.
But anyway, wanted to ask about, there was a program, Coast to Coast program in May of 2016 about Arthurian legend.
Yes.
Are you guys going to have any updates on that? I'm kind of interested. That's one of my hobbies I'm interested in.
I'll check with Lisa. We didn't plan on it, but maybe we can do that for you.
Yeah, it's just I find that stuff interesting, and I did one of those DNA, ancestry DNA, and it's like 60% in that area.
Really?
Yeah.
It's fascinating what you get during those DNA tests.
Yeah. So, also, are you going to have a John Hogan about him?
John was just on a couple of weeks ago. Just before
the outbreak. I mean, the war outbreak. Are you going to have him back on about this?
Probably. His website, hoagprophecy.com, he's got a lot of information about this.
All right.
Definitely go take a look, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, Jeffrey. Next up, open lines, Louise in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Louise.
George, thank you for accepting my call.
Of course.
You really mean a lot to me, George. You don't know how much you mean to me. I love you. Okay, so what I want to talk about is the word afraid. We talked about being scared and afraid. I took Latin in the ninth grade at Madison Junior High School many years ago. My teacher was Miss Wilhite. As a result, I can almost break down the meaning of any word. Okay. There were two books that I've read. One is called Women of Greece and Rome. And the first book mentions that, okay, it says, there were only two nations or two people that Rome was really afraid of. One was Hannibal of Carthage, and the second was Cleopatra.
You.
Yes. And at another time, I'll tell you the comparisons between Hannibal and Cleopatra. But when Hannibal crossed the Alps, came out of Carthage and crossed the Alps and came into Italy with his 39 to 41 elephants and defeated Scipio during the First Punic War, Scipio ran back to Rome. Then Hannibal lost the Third Punic War. When he lost the Third Punic War, Rome named the northern part of the country today called Africa. It was Carthage. They named it Africa. I have the old maps that shows that. And the word Africa, the first part of the letters, A-F-R-A, mean afraid.
Huh.
So they named the northern part of Carthage Africa. And then during the Belgium Conference of 1884-85, when the countries got together and carved up Africa, they named the whole country Africa. So today the people of Africa do not know the meaning of the word. When a people says, I'm an African-American, they are calling themselves a scared American.
How do you know all this stuff?
George, I spent a lot of time in libraries all over.
I was going to say, you must read a lot.
I did. I started early. Well, I started reading before I could read. And my first grade teacher saw me in my family's home at West Point. Someone had given my mother the World Book Encyclopedias. They were very old. And I used to sit by the bookshelf and always thumbing through the pages. The teacher told my mother, she said, Gurney's, she's ready to read. So then she asked how old I was. My mother said, 5. She said, she should be in the first grade now. So my mother put me in the first grade with this teacher, Mrs. Baxter, Mary Baxter. And when we got to school and she saw my mentality level, she said, I should be in the second grade. And they put me in the second grade when I really was supposed to be in the first grade.
You were ahead of yourself.
Yes.
You are a genius, Louise. I got to tell you.
I didn't realize it till someone mentioned to me. They said, I wonder what your IQ level is. I didn't know. But I did know when I was in school, I could remember anything that I read in the books. I knew all the parts of the frogs that we had to, you know, bicep. And then I realized I can remember anything.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Well, anything that had to do with reading and writing.
You liked all that.
I said I was
history?
A good writer.
Were you into history? You were a history buff?
History, yes.
whenever they talked about Cleopatra, did you spark up?
No, not at that time.
When did you realize you were reincarnated Cleopatra?
Oh, when I was about in the 10th grade at Central High School. And one day I was at school and I said, I shouldn't be looking like this. I'm supposed to be looking differently. And I knew I was somebody else, but I didn't know who I was at that time.
When did it come to you?
Well, it really happened, I guess, with Bruce Goldberg.
Ah, okay.
He's
a great hypnotherapist.
Yes, and he triggered the memory. He opened up the memory.
Now, when you called once and said you dated Muhammad Ali,
yes.
Was this like you the Louise I'm talking to right now, or a
Louise,
reincarnated Louise?
Yeah, Wendell is really my real name. W-I-N means winner, the one who always wants to be number one. And W-I-N-D means win, who likes to go with the win. E-L-L-A is French for she. So she of the goddess of the wind is what Wendell means.
We need that kind of charismatic person back again. You know that.
Yes. Well, I'm trying, George. I'm working hard because I have messages that you told me. I thank you for telling me. You said, Wendell, you can't go now. You still have things to do. And now it's opening up more and more. I'm able to express the ideas that are on my mind. For a long time, I wouldn't really talk, you know, but I thank you, George, for letting me be able to speak my mind and not being afraid.
Never be afraid. Thanks, Louise. Next up, Bill in Los Angeles. Hello, Bill. Good to have you on the program.
Hey, George. Hey, you know, you mentioned Ray Bradbury when you were talking to your guest.
Yeah.
I sat by Bradbury in 1986 and when I wrote an article for the Orange County Register about the Hemingway contest where a bunch of people had to imitate Hemingway and submit it, and he was one of the judges.
How cool is that?
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, at that time, you know, he was a little, like, I'm not a big guy. He was smaller than me, and I just was not impressed. And for some reason, I had no real awe of him. And I was just watching. I was like 3 or 4 feet away. And I think I'd just taken him for granted because, frankly, I've never really enjoyed his stories that much, although I give him some credit for science fiction. I just never thought his stories had a good writing style.
Really? Did you know who he was then at that time?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I did. I just, his stories just never did anything for me. But I do appreciate, I acknowledge he's a great figure. And but I, in later, you know, more recently, I think he borrowed very heavily from Orwell. And I think I have to give Orwell more credit than him for a lot of stuff that he came up with.
Orwell, 1984. We sure surpassed that, didn't we?
Oh yeah. I mean, this, what's going on now is like a page out of 19. I mean, the whole book. Where you just say one thing one day, and then the government says the opposite the next day.
It all happened just a little later than he thought.
Right. I'm also glad you asked about those Japanese horror movies. I was about to call, because I'm a real fan of Japanese horror movies, going specifically back to Godzilla, and then more recent psychological terror movies that the Japanese really perfected with. I don't know, you know a movie called Audition?
Yep.
Yeah,
oh, they had a great. Was there a monster called Gorgo?
I don't speak Japanese, but they've got a bunch of them with these. They sound funny when they transliterate them to English. And yeah, there are some different ones, and they look like kind of like birds.
Big birds, monsters.
Yeah. And there's some of them. They're very like from the late 60s that people actually almost want to adopt them. And they get really attached to some of the monster birds. It's very cute, you know, the way they deal with it. It's very clever.
Good stuff. Thanks, Bill. Text and tweets. We're taking them, too. Tom, what do you have for us?
We sure are. This one from Cheryl in Portland.
And I have a question for you afterwards.
Okay, fair enough. I enjoyed your movie talk tonight and have trivia for you. What movie used the line, "Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth"?
Oh. I know this movie.
I know you do.
I know this movie. And you know this movie, don't
you? I
do.
Yep.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on... Baseball. Was it a Rocky movie?
No.
What was it?
It was a baseball movie.
A Lou Gehrig movie.
What was it called?
Pride of the Yankees.
It was.
I got it.
You can win the prize.
I got it.
Don't know what the prize
question
is.
Question to you, since you brought that up.
Okay.
What do you think of the owners basically saying no opening day in baseball? That's crazy. They've had 2 years of COVID.
Thoughts about this.
They've had 2 years of COVID. They haven't had many fans in the stands. This is the year they could start bringing people back, and they're going to do this.
I don't have a very popular belief about this. I think if it would work financially, I think they bring all the young ones up, bring the new players.
Well, see, I don't blame the baseball players for this thing. I think it's the ownership that's screwed.
Yeah, but it takes two to do it.
So you would not use any of the current superstars?
If I could do it business-wise, because, you know, face it, it is a business. I mean, it's our American pastime, but it is a business, and you got to pay people.
Well, I would recommend that only if they drop the price of the baseball tickets.
Absolutely. I feel bad for, like, the people that work in concessions, you know, sweep the stadiums, people like that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of jobs gone.
I mean, the ownership, they've got the money to sustain themselves.
Yeah.
These guys don't have to work.
Of course not. I mean, the poor people that go and sell hot dogs or Cokes and beers for a living, you know.
And people need something right now, Tom, to rally around.
Yeah,
I mean,
they do.
Look at what's going on. And this situation in Ukraine and Russia, it's crazy.
It's horrible. But imagine, George, what's the baseball movie you like where they trade all the guys for the... Oh my God, Moneyball.
Moneyball. Right.
It would be almost like that.
That's with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, it would be almost like that, where you'd bring up all these young guys that never got a shot, but they're in the minors.
Well, if you're going to drop the price of baseball tickets and you want to play baseball, I'd say go ahead and do that. But the ownerships would probably do that and keep the price of the tickets the same.
Yeah, that's the problem.
which is crazy times. How's your hockey team doing?
They're doing well. They're tied for first.
Are they really?
Yeah.
How my St. Louis
in their
Blues
division.
Doing? They're not doing that well.
They're not doing well. No.
And my Red Wings?
Forget it.
They're not going to make it this year.
I don't think so.
When are playoffs in hockey?
They're going to start in a couple weeks, actually.
It's coming along.
It's coming along. Stanley Cup will be here before you know it.
I think this is going to be a better COVID year. I said in March things would really start dropping, and COVID, they really have.
You know what? The war is going to make people not even remember any of this.
Nobody's even thinking about COVID anymore.
It's always something, right?
It's crazy times. Okay, thanks, Tom.
You got it.
We're going to continue with open lines tonight, so we'll get ready to make the call. Those of you that are on hold, we will get to you after the break. Couple little notes for you. As Tom has mentioned sometimes, many times, don't forget Beyond Belief, our television program. You can get to it by going to beyondbelief.com. And watch some free programs, then sign up and watch all of them. YouTube, subscribe to that. That's absolutely free. So if you can, just go to YouTube, type in Coast to Coast AM Official in the search bar. Then you hit the subscribe button. Just fill out your email address and stuff like that. And you start watching some great clips that we've put together. And then on our website, coasttocoastam.com, follow us along. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, or if TikTok, we're pretty big in that now, too, so we're all over the place. But stick with us. We're going to come back for more open lines on Coast to Coast AM in just a moment, so don't touch your dial. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're going to continue with open lines this hour and next hour as well. Toward the end of the program, special tribute to a Coast to Coast guest who has passed on. We'll tell you a little bit about that, too. It's just happening way too often indeed. And welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. I have an opportunity to email Major Ed Dames, the remote viewer, who on this program said that he did not think that Vladimir Putin and Russia would invade Ukraine, and obviously that was wrong. Anyways, Ed's response to me was, the last straw was Zelensky saying that he was planning to put nukes back on Ukrainian soil. That simply did it to Putin. Putin will pull back after he installs a non-NATO-leaning government, but will keep the new Russian-speaking areas that he has acquired. Western Ukraine will be carved up by the Russians and Romania, Hungary, and Poland. Only central Ukraine will remain as a country. So we'll see what happens. That's what Ed Dame says. Let's go back to the calls. Let us go to Chester in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to the show. Hi, Chester.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
You too.
Hey, I'm just so you know who I am, I'm the gentleman who called you a couple weeks ago and told you about the 1,500 serial killers and their body count.
Yes.
Okay, now, I have a story for you. It's going to blow you away. I missed your the guy you had on. This happened to Peter Lorre, the actor, years ago when he was making the movie M.
Okay, it was a classic movie, too.
Yes, while he was filming that, he brought either his son or his nephew. I don't have all that information yet, but he brought his son or nephew to the set, and that child wandered outside, and he met up with a true life serial killer.
Oh, jeez!
One they caught, and I'm not for sure, but I think it was Albert Fish. Okay.
Okay.
Now, while he was out there, he was trying to lure the kid in with candy, talking to him and holding a good conversation. And he asked the child, what was his name? And he gave him the name, and the last name matched Peter Lorre. He said, are you related to the actor? And he said, yes. He spared that child's life. Can you believe that?
Whoa. Talk about luck. Was this serial killer a killer of kids?
Yes, he was the killer of kids, and I think it was Albert Fish, but I have to go back and check, and I'll give you an update. I'll probably send you a text on that.
Okay. Thanks, Chester.
Just to let you know, okay?
All right. Good work. Good work. Wow. That's lucky break for that person who's probably still alive. Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Mr. Mardi Gras.
Oh, Joe, I didn't know y'all were going to put – look, let me tell you something, George. When you said that was all the French that I knew, you're right. That's all the French.
I knew it. I knew it.
I said that was perfect. Look, I was just telling Tommy, and that lovely Louise, I hope one day she'll call me one day because I would love to talk to her and Tommy from La Jolla. Boy, they're great callers and everything. And that Walt from Pennsylvania.
We've got the best callers of
George,
any radio show in the country.
In the world. I want to salute you, too, because I told Tommy I wanted to talk about one thing, but I want to talk to you first. On Saturday here on our radio station, 970 AM KSYL here in Alexandria, Louisiana, y'all play the Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Right.
And I'm so glad that you keep Art Bell going and stuff like that. Well, on Sundays, you have a show called The Best of George Norway. And guess who I heard on The Best of, George?
Who?
Annie. But I don't know if Annie's with us anymore.
Something's wrong with Annie. I hate to say it, but I'm going to tell you an interesting story. I had a buddy of mine passed away on New Year's Day.
Oh.
And we hadn't been able to get a hold of him for a day and a half, which was highly unusual. And the bottom line here, and this is where it ties into Annie, when you don't hear from somebody who you're very accustomed to hearing from on a regular basis, there's something wrong. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't sound good.
George, when you run out of money, you just don't have phone service or anything like that, too. So that could be.
I would hope that's it rather than anything more drastic.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this quick story, too. The other night, I think Barry called in, and so I called Mike because he had called in to the show, and Mike hooked me up with Wayne in Washington, and then Wayne in Washington hooked me up to Barry. So all four of us were on like a party line and everything.
A network of people.
Talking to each other about the show and everything.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I told Tommy. 40 years ago, I met this young lady, and so I'm supposed to, she's supposed to come next weekend and stuff, and it's because of Coast to Coast AM. And man, I tell you, all the callers and listeners, and Ruthie and stuff, and Mike, the millennial, and everything. And so she's like a computer expert. So she saw and she sent me, when you send stuff over the phone, not texting, what's that other thing? You can send like a picture or something over the phone.
You mean your cell phone?
Yeah, the cell phone, not the landline.
Well, no, that's like texting. You can you send pictures.
What do you call
over the phone?
It when you send a picture or whatever?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay. Well, anyway, so whoever this fella is, a guy, it's got a guy that looks something like me and stuff, but it's not me. And so remember I was telling you about this guy saying that I needed money and all like that, and our girl, it could be
so,
a girl.
So somebody's so posing as you?
But that's what I'm saying. She sent me a picture of this, of supposedly this is supposed to be me and whoever's trying to raise this money for me. But she also sent me a picture of what Mike the millennial in Denver and stuff that was online and stuff. So, like I said, I need help and everything, but I'm not going to use nobody, and I don't want nobody to use my tragedy and stuff to try to make money for themselves and stuff, and that's just wrong. But I appreciate you and Tommy, George, because, like I said, I don't know what I'd do without the Coast to Coast audience and everything. And like I said, you keep Art Bell going. But it was nice to hear Annie on one of the old shows and stuff.
Well,
so
can you believe next month Art Bell would be gone 4 years already?
Oh, Lord. And then you talked about your dad. I think you said he'd be 99.
My father would have been 99, and I got some. My daughter was just admitted into a hospital tonight.
Oh,
and
no.
Now they just released her. They thought she was bleeding on the brain.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord.
And I'm going, oh my God, when does this stuff stop?
Oh,
she seems to be doing okay.
COVID. I remember you saying your son had COVID and stuff.
I know.
Fully vaccinated and everything. So George, we love you out here and stuff. You and Tommy and. Well, I wish I could see y'all. I know you might be coming to Houston one day, so I hope.
Over the next couple of years, we're going to be going all over the place.
All over the place, yeah.
Okay,
well,
my
God
friend.
Bless you, George, and God bless the Coast to Coast audience, and thank y'all so much.
Okay, my friend. Be well. Carol's with us in Stockton, California. Hello, Carol. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
I am the Bible historian student that called in a couple weeks ago with a Christian pastor that was talking about the end times prophecy
right.
and the mark of the beast.
Right.
I wanted to kind of expand a little bit on that. The historian that I was speaking about is Roman historian Tacitus, and his writings called the Annals. And his writings are considered the pinnacle of Roman Empire historian accounts because he had access to the Acta Sinatus, which is the Roman Senate's records.
Was he a prophet too?
No, he was an actual historian that lived in the first century AD, and he was just writing about what was going on in the Roman Empire. And the crazy thing about it is in book 15, from paragraphs 48 to 53, he actually goes into the Christian movement at the time. He also goes into the crucifixion, and he goes into the Great Fire of Rome. Well, what I have discovered, and this is the message that I'm trying to get to the secret societies, because my grandparents belong to the Freemasons.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I want to let them know this path to illumination, this that they are all following, it causes spontaneous combustion. The Merkaba that everyone is following, this chariot of fire that is the chariot of the gods that everyone is talking about, in Rome, it caused spontaneous combustion in these people's bodies.
Of their bodies. They just, poof, burned up.
Yeah. This is the actual historic events, the reason why the Roman Empire started believing in hell and about hellfire. Because what happened to these people is all of the shops along Nero's Circus and in several areas that were considered rural at the time that weren't even connected to the original fire, all of these places suddenly caught fire with a mighty rushing wind. and it burned for 6 days.
Jeez.
But there was nothing flammable in the shop other than the people.
Everything was stone, wasn't it?
Yes. Everything was stone. And the strange thing is during the fire, there were people running around with branding irons branding people. And Tacitus says that this was an event that happened again. So this was more than one time that these people were being branded, forced to take the mark of the beast. But the worst part about this is how Nero reacted when they were trying to get the fire out. He wasn't even in Rome at the time the fire was ignited. And when they finally got the fire out, it suddenly ignited and burned 3 more days.
So bring it forward to nowadays, Carol. What does this mean?
I am a student of Dramvalo Melchizedek.
All right.
The path to awakening the illuminated heart that he taught us, which is the Merkaba, it causes spontaneous combustion, and he was initiated into the Alpha and Omega Order of the Great White Brotherhood. That is the first secret society, and it is going to be the last. But this is what they are planning on igniting in humanity.
So we're going to see people combust again?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We got to watch out for that then. I mean, we've done some shows on spontaneous human combustion, but there aren't a lot of people out there that have been burning up. Text and tweets, Tommy, what do you have for us?
Did I ever tell you that I asked the fire department if we could light you on fire for a TV
yes,
bit?
Yes, you did, and I was opposed to that. Were you crazy? I don't think I would have done that.
No, if safety, of course, but it would have been
safety,
so great.
Sure.
It's for a spontaneous combustion show, and it just would have been funny.
You would have laughed with me burning up.
No,
right?
We'd make sure you're safe. Anyway, Serena in Dallas, have you ever had or do you ever have now a favorite hobby?
You know what my hobby is? And you will appreciate this. I love these live events that we do around the country.
They're so fun.
Whether the luncheons or the live stage shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun for me.
It is fun.
And, you know, I love meeting our listeners up front and personal. So if you want to call that a hobby, that's my hobby.
We met some fun people over the years. It is a lot of fun.
How many shows are we going to have this year? What do you think?
We're aiming for 3 live shows, a few lunches and dinners, and just kind of stuff to get back in the swing of things and have some fun.
When might we announce where these magical cities are?
Well, you just want to know everything tonight. Maybe a couple weeks yet.
We'll check with my schedule, please, to make sure I'm around.
No, you just got to go. It's just too bad. You got to show up.
Where are you going to have them? All over the country?
Yep. We're going to do some West Coast, some East Coast.
In relaxed COVID states?
In very nice places where you just walk in, sit down, and have some fun.
And what about 23? We're already getting to March.
We're thinking
April.
About stuff like that. Yep, we sure are.
It's going by fast.
It is. It is. It's going by very fast.
Super. Okay, thanks. Next up, let's go to Sherry in Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Hi, Sherry. Thank you.
Hey, George. Good morning.
Hi. Morning to you, too.
Hey, prayers for your daughter, first of all.
Thank you.
I just want to tell you I enjoyed that first segment, too, with the horror movies.
That was great stuff.
Yeah, there was a movie I've seen a while back where, I don't know, this town gets put in a trance, and 9 months later, all these women start having babies, and then they're like hybrids, and they kind of take over the town. It was an old black and white movie.
I don't know. I don't remember that one.
I'll have to research it and see if I can find the name of it, but it was awesome. It was like little children just kind of took over the place. But
was it a good anyway, was it a good ending?
Yeah, eventually it all ends well for the little city, this little town, but it was a good movie. It was pretty scary, so
I love that stuff.
For its time. But anyway, what I was initially calling in about is a few weeks ago, you remember you had a guest on named Rosemary Thornton?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she was talking about her husband committing suicide, and you had asked a question whether you were wondering if they thought about long term or short term. And from personal experience with my dad, I think it was kind of a short term thing because he had just went to the doctor and got all his medicines refilled like 2 days before he took his own life. And
that had to shock all of you, huh?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to deal with. And as a nurse, I could relate to what she was talking about, too, because as a nurse, I felt pretty guilty because I had been, you know, instructed and...
Well, no, don't feel guilty, though, Sherry. You did what you had to do, and you did it well. We'll be back with more Open Lines in a moment.